where Westport comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show on this a little bit overcast Friday, but we can look at it this way. It's probably a great day to take a walk. The air is still fabulous. It's not too hot, not too cold. 203-333-9422. Joining us now to talk about a performance happening at the FTC on May 23rd, this Monday night at 8 p.m., are Chris Fuller and Mark Raham. Mark Raham is an extraordinarily talented, wide-ranging producer of many, many years. He spent 10 years at the famed Lucille Lortel White Barn Theater, which is literally right down the block from me on Newtown Turnpike, which unfortunately shuttered, but that's another long story. Mark Raham went on to do lots of other different productions, and he is in charge of this next one. Chris Fuller is the star of his own one-man show at FTC. It will be called Cheese Fries and Fruit Loops. Again, May 23rd at 8 p.m. this Monday night, and it's based on your life, Chris Fuller. Chris, hello, and Mark, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello.
Thank you. How you doing?
I'm well.
What's up?
So, Chris, that's you, right? Let me talk to Chris Fuller first. Hello, Chris.
Hello, how you doing? Yeah, that's me. What's going
okay.
on?
Hi. What's going on? Well, you tell me.
That's my first ever interview, so.
Is that right? Well, I wish I was sitting next to you. It would be much easier with a smile, but we'll do the best we can on the phone. So first, and where are you right now?
I'm actually in Weston, Connecticut.
Nice.
I'm in my mom's office.
Beautiful. I love Weston so much. So, Chris, I understand that the most important thing to your father was that you be an accomplished athlete. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true.
And so when you got that message from him that being an accomplished athlete was the most important thing to him, you know, what did that do to you? How did that make you feel as a kid? Did you feel like you were up to the challenge?
Oh, yeah. His two other sons were professional musicians, so they weren't really talented at sports at all, except my older brother, Jeff. But, he always wanted – he would play baseball in the backyard with me, basketball, any type of sport. So he just wanted me to get a scholarship somewhere and play sports professionally.
Did you feel it was important to do what your father wanted you to do?
I would say yes and no. I wanted to. I was always an athlete, so I really wanted to do it for myself. But it was pretty cool that he wanted me to do it, though, too. So I guess a little bit of both, yeah.
And what sport did you find out you were talented at pretty early on?
Well, I wasn't big enough for basketball or baseball or anything. Well, actually, I didn't like a baseball. I didn't like any type of ball whizzing by me. I would get hurt. So golf, because the ball just sits there, and I was always good at golf. I don't know. My hand-eye coordination, he would always rave about. Because this is in the play, but my mom would give me math flashcards and after school, I hated math, honestly. I would just take those flashcards, crumble them up, and throw them into the wastebasket. That's how much I like math.
Yeah. Where'd you grow up? Did you grow up in Weston?
Yeah, I grew up in Weston. Yep.
How old are you now, Chris?
I just turned 40.
Okay. So, and were you able to make a living from your athletics? What happened with that?
A little bit. I played professional golf from 23 to, I would say, 37, but on and off, because the first half of it was I was working and playing, and then I developed, that's why I'm doing this play, I developed a mental illness condition. And it was hard for me to control my emotions. And so the second half was a little rough, but I found my new niche, I guess. Acting.
So And tell us about that. Does the mental condition have a name? Do you want to put a name to it?
Yeah. I don't really care, for sure. Bipolar 2. So, and severe, like, depression. Because in golf, you're always trying to compare yourself. There's a lot of good golf. I mean, Tiger Woods. I mean, I wanted to play on the PGA Tour and play with Tiger Woods. And a lot of people would be like, you're you're freaking crazy, you know, so. So I had to deal with those ups and downs for a long time.
We're chatting with Chris Fuller, and we're going to bring in Mark Graham to the discussion in just a moment. On Monday night at 8 p.m., Chris is starring in a show at FTC called Cheese Fries and Fruit Loops. And, you know, the thing about bipolar disorder is very often, Chris, the people around you recognize the symptoms before you do, right? Because that's because you and your own brain, it's harder. Other people recognize mood swings very often more and quicker. So were you getting feedback from people around you that your behavior needed treatment, wasn't okay?
They would say I'm freaking nuts, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a couple times where, you know, my outbursts were so outrageous that, you know, the police came. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. And when they came and you were having your outburst in your own head, what was going through your head?
I was like, this is how people with these mental conditions deal with these things. Unfortunately, the police come, and the police really don't understand mental illness condition, I think, as much as they should. That's what I thought. So my other friends had to, like, talk to them before it escalated, and then I would be okay. But it's a serious illness, I would say that. Like, people, like, kill themselves over this.
I know. Bipolar illness is the number one mental illness that has a relationship to suicide. I'm quite aware of that, actually.
I'll say this.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, because they have mental illness, whatever, you know, they'll listen to their friends. But whoever has this, I don't know who's ever on the radio, you know, just chase your dreams. You know what I mean? Like, just keep going. It might take you, you know, double time. It took me an extra 10 years, but what's the rush, you know? Like, we live in a society where it's microwave this, microwave that, but if you have a serious condition, you could still get to where you want to get to. It might just take you longer. You know what I'm saying?
I do, totally. We're chatting with Chris Fuller. Chris, as you got to know what these mood swings were about, what was your approach to coping with it and figuring out how you were going to live with it?
I know, I did. I smoked a lot of weed. that's not what you should do, but.
No, it's actually the opposite of what you should do.
Yeah, you know, I just did a bunch of drugs.
You did? Yeah, okay.
But.
When you were doing the drugs, were you looking for a way to calm your inner self? I mean, is that what you were looking for?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. It was an escape.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about marijuana is that, so in my other life, Chris, I don't know if you know anything about me, but in my other life, I'm a probate judge. And what probate judges do in Connecticut is we do all the commitments. We do all the mental illness hearings. And I don't know if you know the old Hallbrook. Remember the old Hallbrook? It's now St. Vincent's.
Yes, I do.
So I'm there a lot because when the hospital needs a proceeding to be brought, and they want somebody to stay longer than that person thinks they should be there, it's the probate court that comes in and holds the hearing. So I will just tell you that on the subject of marijuana, I'm seeing a lot of what they call cannabis abuse now, because people with bipolar or schizophrenia very often do take pot, but it dulls or blunts the effect of their medicine. And the doctors tell me every single day that it also exacerbates the underlying illness. It makes it worse. So, you know, it's something that people have been told will calm them. But actually, if you have this other underlying chemical imbalance, it can make you worse.
Yes, that's very true.
So after you moved out of, you know, that kind of drug use, what did you find that helped you? We're chatting with Chris Fuller, who's going to be May 23rd on Monday at FTC.
You know, just talking to people, going to counseling, talking to my best friend. He's my social media guy and photographer. He really helped me. I talk to him every day. Shout out to J.D. Clayton. Yeah, he's like my best friend. I'm lucky to have a person like that. And then, you know, my two pastors in Arizona, they're in the show, Brother Mark and Sister Ruby, and my mom. And just keeping just to, you know, a close people in my life. And
I have a question, Chris, and you don't have to answer this, but it's a personal question for me because of so many people I know with the same condition that you have. Are you taking any medicine right now that helps your moods to level off?
I was, honestly, but, you know, a lot of the medicine has really bad side effects. So I just kind of just go smell the roses, meaning, you know, I go walk on the beach or something, or I just take a, you know, just I'm out there in nature.
Mm-hmm. Walk your dog.
I walk my dog. A lot of what doctors prescribe is not right, I think, in my book. And you got to do a lot of self-reflection and just kind of take in nature, I think. That's the best piece for me.
We're chatting with Chris Fuller. Mark Ram, are you there? Hello, Mark.
Yes, I am.
Mark. So, hi. Mark, I've been reading your, you know what, we got to come right back with you. Is that all right? Stay on. We got to take some messages. We're chatting with Chris Fuller and Mark Ram. We'll be right back.
Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You got chutzpah. You tell it the way it is.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. We're chatting about the life and reflections of Chris Fuller. We're here with his producer, director, Mark Ram, because they are producing a show, a one-night-only show at FTC on Monday night called Cheese, Fries, and Fruit Loops. And you definitely should get tickets to this. We're chatting about it. Mark Ram and Chris Fuller, welcome back to the show. Mark, I wanted to ask you, in listening to Chris's story, you're a dramatist.
Yeah.
How did this present to you as a way for Chris to tell his story on the stage?
Well, Chris was writing something. He wanted to write a one-man show, and I just encouraged him to go at it and to write the pieces. And I would, you know, look at Act One, and we would talk about it. I live now in Florida, and, of course, he was out in Arizona. But we were able to Zoom, have Zoom meetings and talk about the play. And we got it into a format, which I'm pretty good at working with playwrights and having them format plays. And I thought it was really in good shape as a one-man show. The next step was, and I think it's taken us quite a while, is for him to memorize it. He wrote it, but now memorize it and be able to perform it and tell his story. He's not an actor yet, but he is a storyteller. And I think he has amazing stories to tell in this piece. And they're fun, and they're truthful. And as you can see, he talks from the heart. And I think that all comes through in the piece.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Fuller, first of all, I don't know if anybody's told you this before, but you're quite charming. Quite charming.
Thank you.
You are. You're very charming. And I can see how you would project a genuine kind of authenticity on the stage. What, Chris Fuller, what is it that you are writing about, that you want to tell the audience?
Pretty much I just want to, you know, identify people like me who are struggling, and they're kind of just hiding their, you know, their real selves to the world and just not, you know, expressing themselves and if you have anyone out there as, like, you know, struggling with bipolar or whatever, you know, all these other mental conditions, schizophrenia or whatever, depression, to just, you know, talk to someone and just to tell their story or something. You feel me? Like, there's a lot of, you know, great, you know, there's a lot of creative people out there, but I feel like, you know, we live in a society where a lot of people are hiding their feelings. And
yeah, Chris is telling a story that we haven't really heard, or I haven't heard, you know, about his life. Goes back to being 4 years old with Betty Davis and learning, playing putt-putt. Talk about golf, early games of putt-putt. We have that. And he just talks through his life. And he has a mother who is Liz Fuller, who is quite extraordinary and took him around the world to Australia. And he had many adventures along the way. And what happens in the play is he has an arc where he kind of finds a resolve, and he talks about everything that's happened, his smoking weed and using that, and then deciding not to, and then coming around to a resolve at the end. And it's quite satisfying as an arc in a play. We will see. This is the premiere. We've done things in living rooms for people who are all been very positive, but we've done segments. But this is the first time the piece will be presented. We have people interested in New York who are coming, and we're very excited that it may have a future.
So this is Monday night at the Fairfield, well, the FTC. And
right.
The name Cheese Fries and Fruit Loops, I guess we'll have to see the play to figure out why
okay.
You named it that, but it sounds like a charming...
Chris can explain it, though. He can explain it.
Chris, you want to explain it? Sure, go ahead.
So the cheese fries is like my, you know, structure in life. It's my favorite food of the potato choice, but it's like, you know, my career, like my golfing, my, experiences. And the Fruit Loops is just my crazy, insane behavior, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe my creativity, I guess. I don't know.
I'll tell you what. You have definitely intrigued me. I think I would like to come see the show.
Oh, please do. And, of course, we are, because this is our first presentation, there's no fee for the ticket. So your audience is invited to come. We have 200 seats, and we would hope to have it all filled.
That's marvelous. That's so marvelous. Well, Chris Fuller and Mark Ram, thanks for being on the show. And Chris Fuller, I'm rooting for you also. I'm cheering for your health and your success and all of the good things.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being on.
Pleasure. A pleasure for me. So Chris Fuller and Mark Ram this Monday night at FTC, first come, first served. You better call right now because I have a feeling it's going to be sold out. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So 203-333-9422 is our number, 203-333-9422. I wanted to catch you up on a bunch of other stories, but honestly, I was very taken with that, really very taken with that. I think I'd like to go on Monday. I got to see what else is going on, but I think I would like to go. Probably I have something else going on I can't go, but I would like to go. I think you should go. 203-333-9422. Hey, listen, speaking of pot, which we were speaking of in that last conversation, there's an ongoing conversation about who is going to get what license to be able to sell cannabis. Would you believe that Connecticut received over 15,000 retail cannabis applications? 15,000, okay? So is that a pent-up demand for a supply? What the heck is that, huh? Anyway, I think I know, we all know what it is. There's a perception that people are going to get rich on this because there's a perception, maybe it'll be a reality, that cannabis will be the next big thing to make millionaires because people have been doing it anyway, and now they get to do it legally, and now they get to choose which brand and what strength and how they're going to imbibe it. How did we get to a society that allows this product to be made in candy and gummy bears? Would we have allowed, I don't know, did we allow cigarettes and nicotine as a fix for people to inhale that way? I don't understand how we allowed that. I don't get it. You know, we got kids in elementary schools now getting it in their lunch boxes once in a while. I don't understand how we allowed this. We know that cannabis is a psychoactive substance. If we are going to allow it to be sold and used recreationally, which is to say at people's choice, we still have to understand that as a matter of public health, it should come with warnings. It should come with warnings. It's not for everybody. It's not in every dosage. It shouldn't be given to children. So why would we allow it to be manufactured in products that clearly mislead anybody who isn't aware of them that they, in fact, could be something else? Why would we allow a psychoactive substance to masquerade as a gummy bear? I don't understand that. The warning label on each gummy bear? Really, Andrew? Really? On each gummy bear? You're telling me you can't open the gummy bears and put them out on a table?
With instructions, like anything that you would take.
I don't think we should have allowed it. Well, what other psychoactive substance can you think of? Would we allow alcohol to be made in a pill? I just can't think of another analogy. I can't think of another analogy where we've allowed another knowingly. You know, this came because, I think it came because before it was legal, people figured out ways to be able to have the high from pot without smoking it. You know, these things were made illegally before they were sold legally. But now that we are allowing them to be sold legally, I think we ought to look at them as a public health situation the way we would look at any other substance as a public health situation. I think, personally, it's a lousy idea. I think people should always know what it is they're taking. And it may not always be in that bottle. Anyway, that's me. 203-333-9422. The state is issuing 12 retail cannabis licenses to start with half reserved for social equity applicants who must meet income and residency requirements. They have to live here and they have to meet certain, I guess, you know, they can't make more than a certain amount of money because then they won't be considered, quote, social equity applicants. Two lotteries will be held for each license type. One will be a social equity lottery and the other will be a general lottery to determine who's going to get to be able to operate in these retail establishments. So let me just see. What is it saying here? The social equity lottery for the first round of retail licenses happened quietly Tuesday afternoon in a room on the UConn's campus. Dr. Michael White, a professor of pharmacy at UConn, input a randomized list of 8,275 unnamed social equity applicants given to him by another arm of the state. They spit out six winners, only six winners out of 8,275. Wow. Connecticut's adult use cannabis law stipulates that the lottery operator has to be part of the, quote, state system of higher education. They will not be revealed publicly until they are vetted by something called the Social Equity Council of Cannabis. And then once they're vetted by this council, then they go to DCP, Department of Consumer Protection, for review before they get a provisional license. And if they are disqualified along the way, then the next sequentially ranked applicant from the lottery will be sent to the council to review. Some social equity applicants are already griping because they have been beat out by multi-state companies or wealthy individuals who submitted multiple applications while they only submitted one. Anyway, they're going to be looked at to see if they have disqualifying convictions, if they're not in violation of the ownership cap. A social equity applicant must hold at least a 65% stake in the business once it's open, and they have to list all the backers by name in their application. In addition to the 12 retail licenses that will be issued in the first round, the state's existing 18 medical dispensaries, those that have already been here for medical marijuana, can apply to become hybrid retailers. In other words, they can sell both in both ways to both kinds of buyers without having to go through the lottery. So that's the first 30. I'm Lisa Wexler. We'll be back for the next hour of the Lisa Wexler Show, 203-333-9422. Stick around. We'll have some fun. We'll chat with Donna Palumbo of Jane Doe No More and your chance to tell us your stories about the kindness of strangers. 203-333-9422. Stick around. We'll be right back after news, weather, and traffic here at the top of the hour on WICC 600 and 107.3 FM.